Hickman. Good to see all your smiling faces out there. Well, I have to say it. It was just 1 week ago on Sunday. I still love them, okay? I'm a football fan, and we all endured for 21 sad years, and at least they made it. So I had down here in hopes, I had already wrote that they were Super Bowl champions, but I can't bring that to fruition. I did have the opportunity to go to the game, the NFC Championship game, and the crowd noise was just unbelievable, and I look forward to the time when we all get to shout for Jesus Christ when he returns and when we're along with him. Well, brethren, we're going to go ahead and jump into today's subject because I got quite a bit of material. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Before I get into that, I did want to retract and say that thank you. I think there was an announcement. There was an announcement about the social committee giving thanks for all the pennies and coins that were donated. We had a great time over there, and happy you guys, all the volunteers that showed up. And I can say I want to share Mr. Tour's prize for being the closest on the guests. I mean, he didn't get anything, so we can share a whole lot of nothing. So that's all right, though. Somehow he was able to come up with that number. Okay, let's go over here to Genesis chapter 2. And let's begin in verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Brethren, we're in a time where we see more and more knowledge being extracted and put upon this earth, and it's incredible to see the amount of information that comes across here in this day and age. I love to watch the Discovery Channel. I work for Cox Media, and one of the surveys that they send around a lot of times is the fact that, what do you watch? They want to know what the employees are watching, because one of the things about Cox is that every room, every office has a computer, has a television in it, because a lot of them actually are looking to see what type of commercials they want to run and how many spots their ads are being ran. So it's one of the few jobs, I'm sure, that you go to work to watch television. But as we mentioned in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, let's go over across the page here and let's start in Genesis 3 and pick it up in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God not said that you shall eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, knowing this is Satan, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. I'm going to run a little short video here and allow you to see something to substantiate some of the information I'm going to talk about. Some of those, just to quote some of those, hopefully you guys could see it in the back, and I've sent this email to a few people before, and it was kind of ironic that my wife and both Joe Camarada said, well, what does it mean? Right, so we're going to get into it today, but I mean, just interesting how fast information has moved through the ages and how exponential it has been for the last few years, considering the fact that 50 million It took 50 million took 38 years for 50 million radio listeners to have heard the radio, but yet and still, each time, here you're down to Facebook, which only took 2 years. So, and I know a lot of us in this room don't even have a Facebook account, but yet and still, that's the medium where a lot of people are going, and everybody's scrambling to join, get on board. I thought one of the most interesting facts was that 1 week of the New York Times contains more information than what a person would receive in a lifetime during the 18th century. So you see, the fact is that we are in an age right now to where things are moving at a very rapid rate. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 4. I always reckon the fact that even like the earthquakes in China, how fast that information got over here, and the floods and the tsunamis and all the catastrophes that happen around the world, and how that we are able to get that information within minutes or hours, where, you know, 25, 30, 50, 100 years ago, that information may have never made it to you or I. But in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the books, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." That's out of the Authorized Version. But I'm going to read it also out of the Good News Version, Good News Bible. It says, "And he said to me, And now, O Daniel, close up the book and put a seal on it until the end of the world. Meanwhile, many people will waste their efforts trying to understand what is happening." Again, like I mentioned before, this email kind of just made things, made me realize how fast this world is moving forward, and the turn of events that happened in the past. And the one thing that's a constant is the human nature and Satan's influence that's been around the world. Let's go back over to Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, let's begin in verse 1. And in Genesis 11, verse 1, it says, "And the whole earth was filled with one language and one speech." And dropping down to verse 4, it says, "And they said, Come, let us build a city and a tower whose top unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said unto them, They are one people, they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. And now nothing will be withholden from them which they purpose to do. Come, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Eternal scattered them abroad and thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off the building of the city. Therefore they called the name Babel, because the Lord did confound their language, the languages of all the earth, and from hence the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth." Now you'll notice in that clip that you saw that China is probably going to be one of the number one leading countries that speaks English. I went through and did a little more study and found out there's an estimated 1.8 billion people that speak the English language. So we have, once again, as the time before, we have one language, which makes it possible for mankind to have this rapid rise in technology. Brethren, as we look at this information and how knowledge is being translated, but it's not doing anything. I look at the Discovery Channel all the time. I look at all the different science channels and all the different stuff that's happening, this wonderful stuff that you see. I mean, some of it's so great to see what they're trying to come up with. But at the same time, knowledge just for knowledge's sake isn't going to save this world. And the knowledge of the truth that is required for mankind is our goal, but it falls farther and farther away from those outside these walls. If you don't feel like an out mode after watching that little clip, I'm sure that you probably do now, because with the rapid expanse of technology, we're seeing how often and how many times that we the progression of knowledge continues to exponentially grow and exponentially be turned over. I know many of us are facing, you know, many of us have or will in the future face unemployment simply because technology has changed. My company, I was there for 20 years. The printing is the industry of the past for the most part. Why? Because most of that stuff is being done on the computer, and not a lot of it's being done. Not a lot of sheets are being printed anymore. So, you know, here I am. You know, I thought I was set for life, as I'm sure a lot of you guys were, and I'm sure a lot of people around the world thought. But things are changing at an ever rapid rate. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy 3. As I mentioned before, Joe and Avilia both asked me, well, what does it mean? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. In 2 Timothy 3 in verse 1, it says, but know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control. No lovers of good. Verse 4, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. For of these are they that creep in houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the truth. Never able to come to the truth. People have tried in so many different ways to invent gods, whether it was a wooden statue and now, or whether it's a computer. But people are looking to do away with God. As Mr. Register commented last week on Rod Blagojevich, his legacy, no matter what he may have actually done beyond his scandal and being impeached as the Illinois governor, that's his claim to fame. That is his claim to fame. And if you look at verse 3 where it says, without natural affection, without self-control, who in the world would think to take borrowed money and pay themselves a bonus? But you saw it happen. But you saw it happen. Why? Because no matter how bad of performance people are capable of, they still feel that they're owed something. Why? Because there's no natural affection to say, you know what, if I don't do a good job, I shouldn't get paid for it. For 120 years, Noah went around telling people that the world was going to have a few problems. It was going to be destroyed. Now you hear the message from the church crying out and saying to people, you know, turn from your wicked ways. But how many people are actually looking? Not many. As it says in Amos 8:11, there's a time coming when I will send a famine on the land. People will be hungry, but not for bread. They will be thirsty, but not for water. They will hunger and thirst for the message from the Lord. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. Right now, they're not hungry. Nobody's looking. But as times get tougher and people start to feel the pinch, you see more people trying to, in their own way, rely on God. It's interesting when you go to a second or third world country, you see first off how that many of the people are, they have nothing else. As I mentioned before, giving a Bible study in Nairobi at the feast in 2004, and one of the young men asked me, he says, Mr. McGee, he said, How do I concentrate when I'm hungry? Well, my shape, size, and demeanor doesn't say, other than fasting, I'm not very hungry that often because I can always go to the refrigerator or always go to the stove or the cabinet and get something out to eat. But we see that the closer we get to having less, the more people say, well, I better get close to God. But why do they want to get close to God? Why? Because they want to save themselves. They want to save what preserve their lifestyle. Hey, I still deserve that $10 million bonus. I still deserve those all the perks. I should still be able to fly to Washington on my private jet, even though I'm asking for billions of dollars of tax money. And I don't want to be too political on this, but I point it out simply because we need to understand that this world, the natural love of man has waxed cold. As we witnessed here, the technology is doubling every 2 years. I was talking to a lady from Insight on a flight back a few months ago, and she mentioned that, she says, I don't even bother to get new computers. She says, for one, they just give them to me, and two, she said, technology changes so fast, there's no reason to get a new computer. She says, the information is outdated by the time you have it in your hands. I thought it was interesting to see that the first text message was sent in 1992, and now there are over 6 billion sent each day. I'm sure my daughter accounts for at least 1 billion of those. But as it stands, I love you, sweetie. But I tell you, I think she's going to get carpal tunnels in her thumbs because, you know, that's part of life. The number of internet devices in 1984 were 1,000. Now there's over 1 billion. See, the platform communication and technology is absolutely amazing. My rapid education down at Cox Communications is incredible. What they do and how they do it, and all that's done, and how much technology is going into it. And how these people sit around and they're paid to sit at home and do just watch television because they're idea people. And there's so many different things that go on, but it's just the way that's the nature of the beast. You're always constantly changing. Several years ago, I went to the Indianapolis 500 Speedway Museum, and it was so interesting to see, like, from 1911 all the way up until the present age, and how that the cars, when they started out, had these tires about yay high, you know, 36, 40 inches tall, and they were skinny as, you know, 4 or 5 inches across. And now, as it went, they got a little bit lower, a little bit wider, a little bit lower, a little bit wider, and you saw the technology change so rapidly. And how many times the technology was rejected. For one, they ran a jet car at the Indianapolis 500 one time, and that car was not allowed to run anymore. So it's amazing what people put and what stimulations, what they allow and what they don't allow. I'm going to read. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes 1, verse 16. Says, I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I have gotten me a great wisdom above all that were before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart hath great experience from wisdom and knowledge. Verse 17. And I have applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. Now, speaking of Solomon here. I perceive that this also was striving after wind. Verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Again, brethren, what I'm pointing out is the fact that there are absolutely fascinating things technologically that are being performed right now, all because of the one language, because the scientists in Japan and the scientists in the United States and the scientists all over the world in Europe can get together and their computers can type in or talk into a monitor or a microphone and it comes out a different language, or your computer comes up with a different language. That's all here. That's all in place right now. But we know that that's not going to solve this world's problems. What we're witnessing, again, is fascinating, but at the same time, it's not going to allow us or get overcome the hatreds that Satan is putting upon the mankind. I was speaking to a gentleman from Boeing Aircraft last week, and he was in the research and development department, and one of the things that he mentioned is the fact that with the with the new administration, his job was to find out what they're going to allow and what they're not going to allow. And he pointed out that the Apache helicopter was, 30 years old. He says, you know, but we've made that thing into such an efficient killing machine. And that's my job, is to make sure that it's more of, we put less of our guys in the way of harm, but we have more efficient killing machines. This is a conversation that this man was or words that he was saying to me. Why? Because he was proud of that. He thought he was doing his country a service. And I'm sure that, you know, how well would it be, or how good would it be if we were to use that technology for good rather than evil? How well would that be? Turn with me over to Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that you shall no longer be priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of God, and I also will forget thy children. Verse 7. And as they were multiplied, so they sinned against me, and I changed their glory into shame. Brethren, what knowledge do we need? We need the knowledge of God the Father, His plan of salvation, and His eternal understanding. Applying God's wisdom rather than man's wisdom, and balancing the two, and understanding that there's nothing wrong with technology that is for good and right purposes. But at the same time, the knowledge that we need is right here on your laps, is the Bible, to understand the wisdom that God is bringing about. In Ephesians chapter 3, you don't have to turn over there, but I'll read it to you. It says that, verse 17 says that the Christ may dwell in your hearts, and by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. It's a complete diametrical opposite of what man is doing right now. Most of mankind is looking to find ways to eschew God, to get rid of God's way of life, to not have to acknowledge God. We sit here in this room to come to a greater understanding of God. Why? Because we know that the fullness of Christ and the complete measure of what is going to happen is going to bring about true life, true knowledge, and true understanding. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, you can write this down. We know that Jesus Christ came not to do his own bidding, but to do the bidding of his Father. Why? Because he showed us, he gave us the perfect example as to how to live, as to how to be about our Father's business. In John 5:30, it says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father, which has sent me. Again, I mentioned that there is a extreme lack of knowledge about God right now, and not many people are looking to be a part of God's team right now. Now, as times get harder, people may turn to whatever religion or whatever they think is going to bring about a spiritual thought process or a spiritual well-being for them. But a lot of people don't want to actually take the time to read the book, understand the book, and apply what is being said in the book. Satan has done his job well. He has permeated this world with the thoughts that question authority, question God's authority. Every channel, you can't turn on a television station without someone somehow saying that, you know, the existence of God is up to you whether or not you believe it. We see people that God says keep the Sabbath. And what does the world do? They keep every other day. God says, keep the holy days. What did man put in place? Holidays. God says to abstain from eating certain types of meats to keep you from getting sick. What does man say? You can eat whatever you want. Just watch Bizarre Foods one night and see what the guy is chugging down. It's unbelievable. God says, don't have relations before marriage. Mankind says, oh, you got to test it out first. Make sure that way you're sure that you guys are going to work out. The fear of God and what He is capable of doing has to be put upon this earth. Why? Because we don't understand, we can't understand what is going to happen according if we don't allow the things to come to fruition, if the plan of salvation doesn't come to fruition. Understanding the holy days and why they're in place, why we have the spring holy days and why there is a first fruits and why there's going to be the fall harvest and all of the things that God describes as good, as helpful, as loving, as a way of life that's going to bring peace and knowledge. All those are washed over. You mentioned to someone that you went to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Most people don't understand what you're talking about. They have no clue as to what the Feast of Tabernacles is. But you mentioned Christmas anywhere across this world, and people know what it is. People know what it is. We know that through His holy day plan, God is going to bring many people, many sons unto glory, and everyone will be filled with the true knowledge that we need to have. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, and many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word from the Lord from Jerusalem. And we know that this is going to happen. As it mentions in Zechariah 14, verse 6, we know that there's going to be a future Feast of Tabernacles. There is no question as to what God has in store. No matter how Satan tries to muddy the waters, no matter how much smoke he blows, God's going to push it away. He's going to blow it away. And people are going to see what has to happen, how it has to happen, and how exact His plan is. See, right now, God tells us, and Jesus Christ told us from the day He started His ministry, was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There's not many people speaking about repentance right now. Why? Because I want to be able to do what I want to do and still be saved. Why? Because it's better that way. It's easier. No, we can't earn salvation. But He does ask for us our obedience time and time and time again. So we know that coming to the understanding that God is bringing about His plan of salvation to fruition and learning to repent, to go through the Hebrews 6, the six doctrines of Hebrews 6, and to understand what is there, what's being said, how it's being said, and how we're to apply it in our lives, we have to continue to do God's will. Let's take a moment and go over to Job chapter 42. It's very interesting that Job, throughout his chapters, was very defiant, self-willed, self-righteous, whatever you want to call it. But here in Job chapter 42, let's pick it up in verse 1, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no thought can be withheld from you. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? I have uttered and understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of you and declare unto you. I have heard of the thing by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Very humble attitude that Job was showing right here. Why? Because he understood that God started showing him a few things of how great and wonderful God is, and how that his plan of salvation is going to bring about peace, and how that Job, no matter how great he thought he was very little. And all of the people that come to recognize God's greatness, such as David, you know, what is man that you are mindful of him? You being allowed to sit in this room and to understand God's scriptures, please understand, and I say this to myself most of all, what a wonderful blessing it is to be sitting here to have the true knowledge of God being directed towards you. Why? Because there's 3 million other people in this city of which aren't doing this. Because they don't desire God's will the way that you desire God's will. And become white hot with that love towards God. And bow down and humbly thank God for this opportunity. You're not missing anything out there in the world. You're not. For you young people, I understand that it's hard. Because there's a lot of pressure being put upon you to do the things of the world. But we have to stand strong. Will you be the one to answer to his call? Will you be the one to stand when others around you fall? We have to understand and believe and know that God's plan is going to happen. And the way that God brings about his plan to fruition is not the way that we think it's going to happen. We have people out there predicting dates again. And you know, it's sad to see, because we know that God's coming and we know the signs of the time, but he's told us many times, no man knows the day or the hour. But in that meantime, okay, we have to come to the knowledge of God, to understand his plan of salvation, and to be like him, so that when we carry over, when we're converted, and as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, at that moment of the twinkling of an eye, or if we come out of the grave and we're one of the first ones, brethren, thank God for that calling. Thank God for the opportunity. It's a transition, but our minds never get weak, in the sense that I saw Mr. Armstrong. You know, you either use it or lose it, because he kept his mind going until he was 90 plus years old. And we can do the same thing. And we have to ingrain into our hearts and into our minds and make it a point to study and fast and pray and meditate often. And know that we have to rely on Christ. See, the good knowledge is the insurance that God is going to bring his plan of salvation to fruition. How many times did the disciples at the time witness a miracle and then quarrel over bread? Oh, we didn't bring enough bread. How many times did Jesus Christ break out the wonder fillet knife and feed thousands of people? All you hunters in here, if you had that knife, you wouldn't have to sharpen that forever. If you could feed 5,000 people with one little knife and cut that fish up. See, our willingness to accept the greatness of God, that's hard to do. Because sometimes we look at it and say, oh, God's not interested. Yes, he is. Why? Because you wouldn't be sitting here if he wasn't interested in you. We have to acknowledge God's greatness and his ability to provide blessings for us. Keeping our eyes focused on the world tomorrow, knowing that God's will is going to come about, Satan will be removed, and that all of mankind will be given the opportunity to see God for what he really is. Not some standoffish God that is waiting to destroy all of mankind. No. These things, well, the plan of salvation has to happen. Why? The knowledge of his plan of salvation has to happen. Why? Because we have to know that God's will and God's way is when he says something, he cannot speak a lie. When he tells us something, it is going to come to fruition. The good knowledge involves understanding that there will be a world without Satan. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Very familiar scripture. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We know, brethren, that there is the increase of his government will never cease. And this 6,000-year detour, God had a backup plan. For he knew that the opportunity for mankind to make a mistake was there. But in his book, this is just a little segment of time. Knowing that God is omnipotent and his rule is supreme and that his goodness will overtake the world, we read also in Isaiah 11, verse 9, it says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all his holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." That's the knowledge we want. See, there was knowledge of good and evil. But you know, 99% truth is still a lie. And as we see that, we know that Satan, when he started out speaking with Eve, he said, "You shall not surely die." Well, he lied. But at the time when she ate that fruit, she didn't die right away. See, we have to focus on the positive outcome that is not only can be with us now, but in the future. See, that positive, when you get that whirlwind flowing around you, and that vortex keeps you focused in on 7% unemployment rather than focusing in on the 93% that are employed. When we have people that say, "Oh, let's focus in on the terrorist," rather than saying, "Boy, it's fine, it's great. Let's be thankful for the neighborhoods that we have and the peace that we have here." Brethren, I could go on and on and on, all the blessings that God's providing. And even at the same time, we look at how that sometimes we want to depend on ourselves. And we can't do that. Why? Yes, we have to do our part. But we know that all good blessings come from God. Let's read over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We have to eliminate doubt and despair and quit thinking that we can get out of this mess and put our absolute trust in God and move forward in complete faith, knowing God is capable. As it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any anything to praise, think on these things." See, Satan's very subtle. He wants you to focus in on the negative and not the positive. He wants you to leave this room and start worrying about your cares anymore. You have the opportunity here today to be together and to share with one another the goodness that God has. You have the opportunity today to share the wonderful plan of salvation and keep it at the forefront of your minds. Keep it at the frontlets of your minds. Why? Because you know as soon as you walk back out into the world, it's all going to change again. Nobody wants to hear that. Take advantage of this time. Take advantage of the opportunity to be with people of like mind. Encourage one another. Uplift one another. Pray for one another. Do what's right. Think about the good things. Think about things that are praiseworthy. So many times, like it says in Deuteronomy, God says, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. We don't have to wait until the world tomorrow to choose life, brethren. We should be choosing life and the thought process that brings about true life, true understanding, goodness, happiness. Let's walk out of this room today and make a commitment to be encouraging to one another, loving to one another, providing that call, letter, or that visit, that cup of coffee during the week, to encourage one another to spend time together as brethren. Because you're just a blip on the map in the city of Phoenix. And there's very few people that are keeping the Sabbath. But we as Christians, we have to understand God's plan and share it with one another. Because understanding that these scriptures that are written in this Bible are for us. When he says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 45, Christ is not delaying his coming. But if, as it says in verse 45, and if that servant saying in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat his manservants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come a day when he looks for him at an hour when he is not aware. And he will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Those scriptures aren't for the world. Those scriptures are for you and for me. Why? Because if we start to get weary in this journey, we have to go back and pick up that person. Don't let our brethren fall. Show the goodness and the love that we need to have with one another to bring about the willingness to make it across that finish line. Because as it says in Luke 12:43, blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of the truth I say to you, that he will set him over all that he has. Brethren, I say this because, and I quote John 21, verse 6, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Fill your net up with the fish that are on the other side of the boat. Let us increase our knowledge of the good and eschew that knowledge of evil.